So he tells you you've never seen black people with the same name.
Oh, for
And
sure.
they not related at all.
Shit, especially don't let it be a Williams or a Smith
Bruh.
or shit. Some, yeah, you know how black folks.
So y'all can't get mad at me for not assuming that Gerald and Eddie LaVert were
No,
related.
you're
Especially, I don't even know these niggas' names at OJ. So just do them as the OJ.
No, truly, you no, you are absolutely right. So I take back them funny looks I gave you. You're absolutely right, nigga.
OJs be going hard though. You can tell they put their soul in that shit.
Yeah, anything for the PUSSY, the
One of
power
the
of
niggas,
the
you
P.
could tell like one of their wives had to left them at some point because like the music started getting a little bit too good.
Yeah, hey, that's what heartbreak could do to you,
That's what they said.
man.
I used to be in that hitting that shit. I have to respect it, man. I love the OJs.
Let's see.
My mom be like, "Who raised you?" I'm like, "Y'all did."
Oh shit,
He's
who
like, "We never
raises?
played the shit around y'all." So I don't know. Like, I just like the sound.
Yeah,
I like our
I
music
think
back then was happy. I think that's what it is too. Music now just be too sad. Like I said, I ain't
man.
got one happy album this year outside of Beyonce.
Damn, you might be right, because I can't. Well, no, I was gonna say Phony People, but even them, they ain't released no album. It's been
It's been singles.
singles.
First of all, the singles that they dropped have been fire. I
Nigga,
saw them live
listen.
last year. I
I
think we talked about this.
same at House of Blues or no?
You was at that show?
Absolutely.
I was at that show.
Wait, no, but which one? Because I remember they came twice.
I didn't go to the one in 2019. I went to the one in 2021.
Okay, I went to 2019. Did I go again in 20?
Because if you went in 2021, that would have been crazy
No,
stuff. I
because
was.
I think I did, because I know. Because I was even asking on the T, I was like, should I go? Because I've seen him already and at this venue
You
where it was
asked
like a family
me.
event.
I think I
Which,
answered. See them
nigga,
again.
I don't know, nigga, probably shit. We all in the simulation. So I was there.
They should, because they
Maybe.
perform, because they start out performing their new record that they finally dropped this year. And I
Nigga.
was drunk at that show. So
Man, I bet, bro. I'm.
I think it's
Man.
bad. It's like, here's how it's bad. Like, I should stop doing this. But anytime I've been so accustomed to going to concerts by myself.
Yeah.
So I would always, drinks that'd be expensive. I always like pack a little water bottle,
Hell
it was
yeah.
like some rum, orange juice, just fill it all the way to the room. Chug that in the parking lot, walk to the show, and then maybe just get one more drink when I'm in there. And
Oh
man, that
yeah,
Phony People show, I was out of it.
you
I
might
was
want to
out
chill
of
on
it that night.
that nigga, like by yourself. I
I'm
mean,
there.
if it worked.
And it's something about when it's like a lot of like older beautiful women and like I'm just the only nigga around, it gets kind of like really anxiety inducing.
Oh, well, you know what? I get that. I do. Nah,
It's like I
damn
hope
thing,
it's not
bro.
even like talking. I'm like, I hope I'm not dusty. I hope I don't stink. I hope like like
Yeah.
it's my, like my
No.
teeth white, like that's
Shit,
everything.
nigga, I get that. Ooh,
Is
man.
everything bad. But they was lit.
Oh, for sure. I love them niggas, man.
There was a girl right next to me. She felt every single song in her soul.
Man, say,
It
I
felt
get
you.
that.
It was like revival night for her. Like she was
Bruh,
going off.
yeah, that's man. Phony people are the fucking truth, man. I them
They are.
indie or alternative artists, man, especially black artists, like
So you know, Phony People, they were kind of like this band that Vic Mensa was part of was kind of like a similar idea, except for instead of doing indie rock, it's soul.
Oh,
So
wait.
it's like they tried to fuse like rap and soul together. So they used to have like Phony People used to be a way bigger group. Because I've been listening to them for like 10 years
Like
now.
the internet,
They
like
used to
in
be a way
Odd
bigger
Future
group.
and all that
They had like three rappers.
shit. Oh God.
It
Like
was three rappers.
the
It was
Wu-Tang.
like two, three rappers with them and then a full band. Like,
A full band.
because the nigga with the dreads who sings, he was just the singer of the group. Like, he wasn't the main guy.
That nigga remind me of Sailor Moon. Like, no, in all the best ways. Like, I don't know why when I think of Phony People, I think of Sailor Moon. I'm like, that nigga is Sailor Moon. I don't even be like, oh, he the Beyonce the group. No, that nigga is Sailor Moon. Like, I, bro.
It's
And
because it's long. His hair is long and pretty. Like he got some
probably
beautiful, he
that.
got some beautiful dreads.
Man, say. Yeah, that
Dude,
red
I'm
nigga.
jealous seeing everybody's locks. Like I'm trying to get into my lock hair. Okay.
Hey, do that shit, nigga. We still in quarantine, kind of.
Man, I'm going, nigga, I'm going through a process. I'm regrowing my shit from like scratch.
Hey, so that's what you got to do.
I said, let me, you know, I'm about to be 27. I said, you know, let me regrow my shit from scratch. I wasn't taking care of my hair like I should. Hey. Let me make sure my shit, you know, gotta make sure my shit popping.
The fuck? This motherfucker
said. You know how it is.
No, yeah, shit. I'm about to lock this beard up. You don't see me swinging them Bob Marley chin hairs. Okay.
Hey.
Oh, shit.
I ain't trying to look up one day and I'm like, oh, we did. I said, let me start from scratch and just, hey, you know, go do the process right.
Do it, nigga. I support it. Anything black excellence, do that shit, nigga.
Man. Shit. But I had to hit you up, man, because we got it. I said, anytime I see a crazy little scary move, that's let me hit up that nigga Rain. See,
nigga, you were a fucking bully, nigga. It ain't no peer pressure. This nigga is a fucking bully. I've told myself I'm gonna get more into horror because this nigga, like, hey, you want to see a doll made of knives that kills black people? Like, it was a great movie, the mise-en-scene. Like, what the fuck? No, but yeah, that was a good film, man.
So I made the mistake because I decided, because one of my friends, she came over and we were just like, she really wanted to watch the movie. We didn't get a chance to see it early on.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, when I get back to spin class, it's like 8:30. Let me shower, eat, we can watch it. We turn it on about 9, so we watch it late at night before it's time to go to bed.
What the fuck, nigga? What the fuck? Okay.
Easily.
Yikes.
There is rarely occasions at times when I see people say, oh, this is one of the scariest movies I've seen, where I'm just like, yeah, that's valid. Like, that's valid. This is on my list of things like, yeah, that's valid. Like, if niggas want to say this is the scary or the craziest shit they've seen,
yeah,
I'm like, yeah, this is my stamp of approval. Because the trailer does not do justice.
Oh, at all.
Dark, depressing. Like, because I'm thinking it's just going to be a bunch of jump scare happy type of shit. I know it was about to be about folks dealing with trauma and this essentially demon that is toying with their trauma. Like, he doesn't have a goal or nothing. He's just doing it just to do it.
That's it, nigga. This shit's
trying
fun
to take over the world. Like, it's just fun to him. It's a sport. Nigga, he just loves the game.
That shit creepy as the fuck, nigga.
And I'm just like, what? First of all, this movie is, we can't start without mentioning, this movie is based on a short that was supposed to come out at South by Southwest in 2020. Before the pandemic happened and shut everything down. It's called Laura Hasn't Slept. And it stars the same girl.
Wait.
It stars the same girl that was in the intro scene of the movie.
Wow, okay.
And it's taking place about her at a therapy session, about how she can sleep because she's seeing hallucinations of people that look like her, and like how he just wants to show him, and how she keeps saying he just wants to show me his face. And I don't know what's going to happen when he shows me his face. And they take that concept of what was initially, instead of over-exaggerating it, because, you know, you get like a little 10-minute short, you have to make it big and grand at the end, they minimalize it down. And essentially, what you get in the first scene now is a toned-down version while being more unsettling of the actual short film.
Nigga, that's dope. That's a short done right there.
And it's the same exact girl. So when it came time to say, hey, yo, if you have to sell, you're going to be on the poster. You're going to be in all the trailers. It's not your movie, but you're going to be in all this shit. Yeah. You need to sell this. Mm-hmm. Rent was due.
No, definitely. Rent, Carno. Yeah, all that.
Her shit was on like the curb when she pulled up to the scene.
No, yeah. She was like, oh, I got one shot.
She did it. Because one, and when we go full circle, when we explain it, seeing that scene of what we now know as like the final process, like the final step of this process, seeing how what it ends up being, this little representation of it, scary as fuck. It's not just a smile. And then it's funny telling you stories about this unsettled me a lot because it was something about black family. They love doing them creepy ass smiles. Just fucking with you. They love fucking with you. So I'm just like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And it's just dreadful, man. Like, I gotta sit here for 30, 40 seconds And as a nigga that does interval workouts, 30 and 40 seconds is a long time if you pace it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Watching this woman drag this shard of vase across her face and through her neck. Everybody knows my irrational fear is me having my throat cut. So I'm just having to sit here and just watch.
Yo.
And she's doing it with a smile on her face. Bravo, man.
Oof.
Bravo.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a damn good movie. I think they did a really good job throughout the film with playing with your expectations and playing with what's presented. A lot of and I don't think they're doing anything too grandiose or anything too unheard of or revolutionary, but like you said, scaling it down versus making it this huge Infinity Endgame style horror movie is what really sold it for me.
And in moments like that, you just kind of just forget, and I don't forget where you are, but because the scares and unsettling moments are so far in between, at times you forget what's going on, and then it has a little subtle reminder. Like when the, I think it's a lot of people's favorite scene, at least one of their favorite scenes, where the house alarm goes off, and she gets the call from the systems company.
Go away!
And like, did you trigger the alarm? Like, no. Are you sure you didn't let anyone in the house, bros? Are you sure,
nigga?
And she's just sitting there. She's like, I'm like, she's selling it. She is selling it.
Yeah.
And she's
absolutely.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that shit. And like, I'm not into horror, so I'm probably a little biased, but I think that this movie was done, I say close to expertly well when you're looking at
it. Is definitely done expertly well. Most people who watch a lot of scary movies will tell you, yeah, this is like up there.
Yeah, I agree. I not being well versed in horror, I don't have a whole lot to base it on, but even from seeing something like Scream, which isn't truly scary, it's probably like more of a suspense, maybe. I don't know. But even like looking at how those movies are presented, like as my only form of reference, I can see some similarities, but like this, if we got a Scream movie that was like this. Maybe it's the supernatural element, but that shit.
It's partially supernatural, but it doesn't lean too heavily on it being some super demonic shit. Like it leads. I was talking to my aunt about it, and I said essentially, you take away this entity who likes to explore and dive into your trauma. It's about mental health and mental awareness.
Oh, absolutely.
Like your trauma stays with you for life, because all these people who get affected by it are like, they all experience a form of trauma. Like the main character, Rose, she watched her mother OD. The girl who got killed in the first scene, she watched her grandfather die. The dude who killed himself before her, he witnessed his brother die. Like they're exploring and exposing these traumas.
See, that's one thing I liked about this movie is that once it ended, I realized Rose just happened to be the main character. We could have had this exact same story from the chick before her, from the dude before. Like, this could have been anybody's story. And it just happened to have been hers. And
I think that's the fucked up part about it the most. Yeah. Because, like, when I say there's movies I put on the same tier, like, oh, when you tell me this movie's like legit scary, and I'm like, okay, it's valid. I have this, it's like Sinister's on that list. Sinister. It takes you out of it because, like, why would you, as a guy who studies true crime, not studies, you're a true crime author, you're deciding, hey, let's move into the same house knowingly where this family was hung on the tree in the backyard and the daughter went missing a year and a half ago. Like, why would you do that? Or even in Hereditary, like, that is a very specific thing where this family, they were, like, their grandmother was in a cult and she's been that on them, so it's like a very, it's an enclosed thing. This could legit just happen to anybody. And that is it could happen to anyone. The fact that it makes so much sense, because everybody's like, oh, this is easy. Look what I said. When someone is about to brutally kill themselves,
yeah,
in the sense and vein that they're doing it, there are some things that can be terrifying and you just can't look away from because your body's just in shock.
Yeah, that's about, yeah, you intellectually, you might know to look away, but like, if especially the way they killed themselves, because it's one thing to like see a car accident and you're like, oh shit, a car accident. But for someone to like slowly carve into their face, it's like, let me process what the fuck I'm looking at. How, like, what am I looking at? You know, so yeah, I agree.
I think, and the thing that works for me, take that out of the fact, like, when I say, and here's what I mean, where I say it was like, if everything, like, when I say it being like a mental health allegory, shout out to Cal Pimby in his movie, by the way, like, you rarely see him in serious roles, but when you do, he's really good at it. Who's her boss? He's essentially like, once she passes by one of her old patients, and it's clearly the demon messing with her, and she's just like, and he's like, you brutally, did you just watch one of your patients brutally just kill herself yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you've already been working 80-hour weeks for months.
Yeah.
Like, you are clearly going nuts in the head. So taking that point in it, and they give her a week leave of absence. Like, oh, she's done here.
It's just, oh, shit.
Yeah. I guess she's done here. But it can easily be passed off as, oh, it's just hallucination. Oh, I look at who it before her. A grad student. Before, a professor. It's very possible for the people who's always hitting. Now, when we're going to get into that spoiler, of like who's like up next, even who's the guy, man, the black guy, he even does something specific where it's like, it's very taxing as a career as well too, so it could just be played off like these guys are just going crazy.
In politics, who was he?
He was in something, like, it was, he was like also was like a really good career,
shit, with a nice car. So yeah, shit.
Also shout out to him, maybe rent was due for him too,
man. Say,
I ain't trying to get that shit again. I'm like, oh my god,
bro!
What if you could get it again?
See, like,
any given moment, it could be her time. So if she does some crazy shit, and he's stuck there. He has to sit there and look at it.
No, you're absolutely
gonna be stuck
right
with that shit again.
Yeah, and we don't know. We, like you said, we don't know. It's the unknown. You could. So just because you escaped it once,
and that's the part I like about it. And I do. I don't think movies need a sequel. Most movies in the sequel, if you were, it'll be cool to explore a little bit more on more details of other things people have happened to, not necessarily explore the, I hate when people want to explore the lore of the demon or an entity. It ruins a movie. Like, I want to see who else is happening to, what have more context, because I guess we can dive into spoilers a little bit. Unfortunately, Rose does not make it. She tries her best. But right, that's also a metaphor for, you can't just wish away and burn your trauma like it's a love letter. It's there with you for life. And this is like the perfect metaphor of your trauma being there for life. First of all, two things. Here's what I mean when I said two things can be true at once. The makeup effects for the actual demon, whether it be in the weird Marilyn Manson look, supposed to still kind of represent her mother in its actual form, both very terrifying. That's what I kept seeing when I was telling my aunt. I told you about it too. As I was drifting to sleep on Monday night watching it, my body just kept as much as my body kept trying to sleep, my mind kept waking me up. So I'm just doing this for like an hour.
No, I get it.
Because that's what I kept seeing.
Bro.
I was drifting to sleep. Like, that is creepy.
I told you, fam, it took me about 2 weeks to get this shit out of my system. Like, for real.
The creepiest effect. But two, I'm kind of also over the long-limbed monster creature because I didn't necessarily feel this way because I didn't see it in theaters. But I said, imagine seeing Barbarian early in September, where you find out there's some really tall, 6'5"-ish, long-limbed woman living in that basement or cellar.
Ooh, what the fuck?
And then 3 weeks later, you see Smile, and like, that's the form of the creature. Like, that's a trope that I would like to die, because it happened in Mama, which is in 2013. It was first it's not started, but it became popular. Predates Slenderman. 2007's Wreck. 2007's Wreck, when they realized, I think it's the original Wreck, where there's like, they keep going up and up and up in the apartment complex. And there's been an abandoned like apartment for like years. And there's like this ghastly, devilish woman who's like super, super tall.
Oh shit, no, that don't sound familiar at all.
But it's found footage. So it's like, we see like, oh shit. But I think at that point, it's kind of old. It still looks, in this sense, it kind of still looks cool. Because the design of his face is super unique. It's super, super unique, but she clearly doesn't make it. And when she kills herself, it's like her, like, it's, I think, again, it's a metaphor of her trauma still there. She kept trying to take shortcuts to get out of it. Or let me deal with it alone. Even with, because you shit on A, you shit on my nigga, first of all, A-Train did this. You shit on my nigga A-Train.
Yep.
But here's the one thing that people didn't catch. The reason why that she decided to leave her detective boyfriend over, is the reason she left her detective boyfriend is that she was too vulnerable around him. And she did not like that vulnerability.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah, A-Train's character is very safe because he doesn't dig that deep. So he still cares about her in a way, but his form of caring for her is a form of enablement.
He was, fuck him, bro.
And like you, I said, hate this because the A-Train, bro. Like,
no, fuck that. Oh, no, no, no. He did. He did what he had to do. I think he acted exceptionally well. It's not even about the craft, but the character. I was like, I don't know if he was supposed to have been white, and like in the original script.
He probably was. He probably
fuck was, him, right? Bro. Like, how do you? I'm sorry. I, as one of the only black people in this film, I wanted to root for him. But for me personally, if you're dealing with somebody who has mental health issues, I thought they were boyfriend and girlfriend. I didn't realize
fiance.
They, right. And so I was like, leave her. Not even to be funny, like people with mental health issues don't deserve love. What I'm saying is, you're more of a burden to her. It felt like he was her damn fucking guardian. I'm like, man, you acting as if.
But that's what it's like with when you were, bro. When you're not a type of spouse, when you're not the type of partner or spouse where you can cut past the bullshit and really dig deep into what's going on and forcing your person to make, like, let their guard down. Like, he was more, like I said, he's more of an enabler, but he gets her help to a certain extent. He tries to snap her out of it to a certain extent, but she can only really, she can really only do so much. Like, he can really only do so much before. You know, he just kind of leaves the movie.
Truly, like that too. But like, fuck him, because I feel like, bro, again, if I'm dealing with somebody with a condition, it could be a kid, it could be mental health, it could be a health condition. If that's too much for me, then I need to either remove myself from the situation or I need to put in the work. And it felt like to me, and I could be projecting or whatever, but I felt like when he had issues with her, I don't care if she's talking about there are cats inside her heart trying to escape. That's your spouse. You need to work on your spouse. Like, none of this was new to him. That's what I'm saying. Like, you knew about her mom. You knew about her and her possible mental health issues. So to be like, I just feel like he wasn't husband enough.
The perfect person kind of lies somewhere in the middle because you see Joel's character. He was too attached and too... Like, at one point, you realize you can't even, like, he was too attached to realize, he did come to a realization you can't, sometimes you can't save someone if they aren't capable of saving themselves. And then you see with Trevor's character, he could own, like, he had good intentions, but like, he just was not capable of it.
Yeah. And
somewhere really best falls in the middle, because the person, friend I was with, and she was like, man, he didn't even try to believe her. I said, to be fair, this is something super, super specific. All the cases, all the things around her says she is going through a mental break because she's been working so much. And one of her patients brutally committed suicide in front of her. So it seemed like she's having a mental breakdown. But I said, like, as a non-black person I am, if you present me with some shit that shows, like, if you bring some, like, even form of evidence, I'm liable to believe you. Like, oh, shit. I'm going to get the fuck away from you because I'm not going to see that shit.
No, truly.
I'm not trying to see that shit at all. Right. And they look up. He was so fucking adamant about helping and saving her, he ends up having to be the one to watch her die.
See, fuck him, bro.
Because she told him, she's like, she come after me.
That nigga pissed me off. Like,
he just sitting there, like, he had to look at it. I'm like, damn.
Like, we already talked about what the fuck this thing does. Like, you have that knowledge. Why are you...
I guess he thought it. That's the thing is, like, he thought there was still time.
Fuck him, bro.
I guess in this case, he thought it was still time, but there was no time left whatsoever. And then again, once you put in that situation, and if they were just gunshot, slit wrist, whatever, they're killing themselves in the most brutal ways possible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Like, to the point where you can't even look away because it is so shocking. Like, this girl's pouring kerosene all over herself and lighting a match and setting herself on fire. That's then going backwards. She's cutting herself a glass. Before that, he's beating the shit out of himself with a claw hammer. We don't know who the one before. We don't know anybody in between. But the first footage you found from a gas station footage, that dude takes some fucking hedge clippers and just stabs like.
That shit was terrible. That old lady was scarred. Like,
and then you just stuck with that shit. One thing, man, the setup for these, them showing, I'm kind of mad that, and I was watching this one review, and it's kind of, I think I didn't even finish the review when the review first came out. And they said, yeah, we're not even going to show you the trailer because we did not know how much was really in that trailer. Like, as far as the shocking elements of it. So much of those, like, you would rather just see that on your own.
Yeah.
Because like, that's in the trailer. I said, yeah, let me just not watch that review. I came back and watched it. I'm just like, damn. This is intense. Like, it's like these, the moments that build up to it, you would think it's just jump scare happy. No, it's showing you all the buildups. Yes. All the scares are either build up from tension or a way to transition a scene. And they're so far in between. Like, by the time you get to the scene, let's say where the girl, her head snaps. You've been doing this for a long time. Bro. And you see that angle of that shot all the time. So at the point, I'm just waiting and waiting. I'm like, is it here? Is it here? By the time it gets there, I'm like, oh, shit. You got it. And it just, man. Because even the one that gets me, first of all, this is just somebody who I'm just not the type of person. And I have to pay, I have to flip the bill heavy for that in the summertime. I don't like just having lights off for the sake of having lights off or just having like a dark place.
Shit, I do.
So this girl was drinking the. If I'm in a small apartment, sure. If I'm in a big house, fuck no.
I will see.
Because I just moved out recently. So my mom, she used to get so upset at me. She's like, you always got the lights on here. I'm like, I'm not walking around in the dark with myself. And movies like this is my realization. Why? Because when she's pouring the wine, and she sees her patient,
man, like
the ghost of her patient, just smiling at her.
Fuck this movie. Bro, that shit, like, those moments.
Now, you know, the one that got me, I said, ah, shit, you got me. Because I thought it wasn't even in the trailer, so that's why I was expecting it. When I think, because another viewer I was watching, him and his wife, they do reviews together.
Yeah.
So when they got invited to an early screening of it, she said she couldn't even like open her eyes to see that scene. So like Rose has her headphones in listening to the audio. And so she knows something's gonna happen. Like, I knew something's gonna happen too. She's expecting some crazy distortion of the sound,
yeah,
or something to happen to the screen. I was not expecting the ghost of Laura to pop in here. It's like, Rose, I was like, oh shit.
Bro, when I tell you, I made a sound. I was in the theater. Bro. Yes.
It's just dreadful. Imagine having to deal with this for like so long because
4 days. I couldn't even 4 days.
Minimum 4 days.
Oh yeah, truly. Yeah, that's
minimum. So you're like, you're not sleeping for 4 days because you're being haunted by this thing for so long. You think at first you think it's just the trauma of dealing with of like seeing it, and then you'll realize, oh shit, something's like after me. You know, by the time you realize something's after you, it's already at that point too late.
It's too fucking. When that therapist called her, I was done. I almost left the theater.
I was like, that, no. So that's the point. So that is one of them that really gets me. That is, so that's one that gets me. The other one that gets me is before we get to therapist, where she realizes that the present that she got for her nephew ended up being like her own dead cat. So she can't sleep. She's been hysterical. And then the girl is who she was conversing and talking to for a good minute.
Yeah.
Well, they allude to, she's talking for a minute, is doing the smile, and then she's turning around and pops in front of her. She falls to the glass table.
That, bruh, her nephew need therapy because she ruined everything, bro.
But then again, it's testing, like, because at this point, I think, because I saw it another time before we record this.
Mm-hmm.
On a rewatch, you find yourself asking questions of, is what I'm viewing real? Mm-hmm. Like, is this the demon fucking with her, or is she really losing her mind? And at times, you can't even really tell the difference. Like, sometimes it spells it out for you. Other times, it leaves up to interpretation, like the cat.
Yeah.
That's up to interpretation over if she did that herself, or if she's, like, being fucked with. You don't know. So, like, she clearly has all this evidence on the table and the therapist shows up. Cool. This is, like, even a reason for her coming aside. I don't want to have to say you need to be admitted. I didn't watch the trailer. I watched the trailer maybe once because there's a few trailers that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I don't think this movie does it for me. Again, the trailer does not do justice of what the movie actually is.
No, I agree.
So,
but,
so that part I didn't see. That phone call, I said, what?
Nigga,
hell no.
And the beauty of that scene is broad daylight. Scene, it is, and she is in a big ass living room with white walls, white front, like that's the most gotcha ass scene, because it's like, oh no, we set up this antagonizing nature between them already, and we see the shit she's been through, broad daylight in this white ass room where nothing could go wrong.
Yeah.
Bro. Ain't no way, bro. Ain't no way.
That's where it does things kind of like its predecessors, because I know a lot of people for the weird smile they compare it to Truth or Dare.
Mm.
I don't think it has much in common with Truth or Dare after that. But as far as tone and dread, it reminds me so much of The Ring and It Follows, because especially It Follows. The whole idea with the dread of It Follows is that this thing is constantly after you.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of scenes in the daytime. So it's just like, oh yeah, you're not really safe anywhere. And this thing is like an asshole. It's like legit just fucking with her. Like, it's just standing outside of her office, staring at her. What is the one that got me for real? What is the one? I'm just like, damn, you still doing this? Oh, when her boss tries to check on her, and then she sees her patient.
The guy?
Like, she sees her patient with the hammer in his head. The nigga
the guy who was like, we're all gonna die or something, or he,
first
some
of all, shit. I ain't never seen a nigga get beat up that much since Rodney King. Like, they whooped his ass, and he was just there sleeping.
Bro.
I'm like, damn, he's not doing nothing. Why y'all still restraining him?
I'm gonna take it there, but I'm gonna kind of walk it back. I think this movie was like an interesting kind of exploration of like white privilege, and I'm not saying it like let's bring heavy race into it, but the way that a white woman is able to like maneuver throughout the world, because I would be interested to see even like a short 20-minute film of the black guy who was in jail, like what. Like his life leading up to that, like the spaces she's able to kind of move in and out from, like the very fact that she went up to that hospital to see and saw that nigga, like you're not supposed to be here at all, but you are this, you know, wealthy white woman, well, privileged white woman, and it's a certain status, you're a doctor here, whatever. Like her having access to him is a privilege where somebody else, I don't know, I just I may not be the person for it, but I feel like there's a conversation to be had there.
It'll turn out a lot differently, especially knowing the theme is mental health and trauma. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Like doing that with the marginalized group, it has to be a different experience.
And even a handicapped person, I would really, my big heel to die on is always representation, but not even for let's get handicapped people and gays and women. No, literally, what does that look like for you as a handicapped person? Be you in a wheelchair? Be you an amputee? Be you, how does that manifest then? And then the proximity of people you're around are more than likely handicapped as well. Nigga, this shit is something.
Maybe there was somebody who's actually mentally ill. Imagine what that actually looks like.
Who?
Because even I think one reviewer, the same reviewer I was watching a few days ago, and he said, it's not him, his wife said, one thing that she knows about people who deal with who are mentally ill, is a lot of your sessions is you clearly need this medication. And you're spending all this time trying to convince your doctor that you need this medication because you keep hallucinating.
Oh, okay.
So it's you kind of see scenes of it. You kind of see little scenes of course, a therapist is going to have a therapist. Mm-hmm. You have moments of it, but there's a little bit more nuance. And I think if the missing nuance could make it an even more terrifying movie.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. This would actually be a good franchise to just pass off to people of those certain communities. I would love to see what does this look like for a Mexican, I don't know, man who's 63, handled by Mexican directors and filmmakers. What would that look like? What is that inner Jordan Peele style horror that you personally do?
Remember, actually, one of the victims, the one before Laura, the first one that we saw, he was looking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. The professor and his wife, Carla, did such a good job.
She was awesome. First of all, we need to talk about the main character, how she keeps letting it drop, that she's going through the same shit. It's hey, you got to keep that down in the low.
Bruh, she was impersonating. Bruh, I tell you, when you're back against the wall, you're going to come up with something. She's like, I am a journalist.
She's like, I'm going through the same shit. And I'm just like, and everybody's like, oh, her reaction kind of felt a little bit forced. I'm like, yeah, remember, this stuff doesn't take place that far away from each other. Mm-hmm. So let's say, because we don't know how much time at that point gone, but let's just say she was on her fourth day when everything went down. Let's just give her benefit of doubt. She's probably on day two or three. Mm-hmm. Laura made it maybe a week. Just be generous.
Yeah.
Laura made it a week. And let's say, be generous, say he made it a week. You're still at the end of the day talking about less than a 3-week span.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would venture to say that Laura actually had a shorter amount of time because then he got it from overseas at the conference or in where he go to Puerto Rico or some shit.
He went somewhere. Yeah, he was at a conference.
Yeah. So say 3-day conference tops and come back. Yeah. So I would say either him or Laura both had it for a shorter amount of time. I wouldn't even give him a full week.
Yeah, and that's if I'm being generous.
Yeah.
If we want to be shorter, it is way less. It's
it's maybe a week. 4 days.
It's if he got 4 days, she got 4 days. Let's say they all got 4 days. Mm-hmm. That's less than 2 weeks.
Bro, that's a holiday weekend. I'm like,
this nigga moving fast
as hell.
Damn.
As hell. Yeah, that, bro, that's dirty. And I was thinking, what if you actually committed suicide? Not because of this entity, but if he was it's all over, let me just snap my own neck.
That would be something that would be worth exploring a little bit too.
Yeah.
If it's just strictly just a suicide. And I think that's initially what Rose's character is going to go for. It's going to be suicide involuntarily.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's trying to go for she dies, and it's just that the cycle ends there because no one is there to witness.
Mm-hmm.
But then here comes fucking Joel, fucking Captain Save-A-Ho.
Fuck that nigga, man.
It's not even misogynistic. You can't just be going out on a limb for everyone.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, they have chemistry. Yes, they love each other. But at one point, you got to tell yourself, like, yeah, man, this is just...
It's time to move on.
Yeah, it's time to just... Because this is something that I literally just can't do. You have to do this yourself. Mm-hmm. Which should have been his final notch, but he decided to still come. Like, what are you going to do against the entity that you can't see?
Fam, that was the silliest shit. I'm annoyed, but I'm not, because I get, I mean, it's a movie. Even the shit that happens that I don't like something has to happen in order to make the movie be a movie. But Joe, I don't know, man. This, like, I guess my thing is, yeah, you met up with her on the job because of this situation, but, like, she has a fiance, and you know this. Like, to come back, yeah, you can come back and check on her, but you know good and damn well you don't do that for everybody. You could have sent somebody. You could have called him and be like, hey, just seeing if you're okay, but whatever. If you need something, all right, I'm out. Like, I don't know. All these niggas is flawed, but I still enjoy it.
And I think that's kind of the thing of when it comes down to all the characters are flawed, but again, I think thing that's working against A-Train's favor is knowing the fact that we know him as A-Train. But see, if you look at it in the vacuum, like, everyone is flawed, and again, it's kind of how people just respond to mental, like, issues when it comes to mental health. Like, no one
really knows what they're doing, how to do it. It's never black, like, and white.
Actual therapists, psychiatrists don't really listen to you, which you have to say. And your loved ones can only do so much, but they don't know what to really do either. Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to it, she finds out that she can kill someone brutally, have someone witness, and that is that's how she passes it on. Yeah. There is no one that you're really comfortable saying. There's no one that you're really comfortable saying, yeah, I would be happy with her killing him, mm-hmm, or him killing her. There's no one in this movie that could just, like, there's no one you'll be like, okay, good.
Yeah, no, you're
gone,
right.
Like, they're gone. Like, there's no one in this movie.
Because not even a sister, because even though she was annoying, she was justified from the outside looking in, because she don't know what's going on with this girl.
Yeah.
You know, all the shit she, so.
And all she knows about her sister is that, from her perspective, that we know, all she does is work all the time.
And you just like our mama. You got the same bullshit that was going on with her. And that's what's also interesting is, let's say she did kill someone, you're still not safe. Let's say she killed somebody and got away with it. You may have got away with it in eyes of the law, but who's to say that, again, this is happening so locally that it doesn't circle right back around to you again in a week from now? Like, yep,
you just never know, because it's clear. I think we reiterated this before. This entity looks for those who are dealing with trauma, like unresolved trauma, and is exploiting it. Like, when, first of all, these things that just bother me, I've never been the type to leave doors open, especially at night.
Nigga, please.
She's got her door open, and her mom is just calling.
Rose. Bro, nope. Bro. Another point where I almost got up and left, because what you're not going to do.
She's just sitting there.
Mm-mm. I would be gone. Like, no. She said, come here. Girl, what? Absolutely not.
Anything is fucking with her. Like, at least she peeped early on that it's fucking with her. Imagine someone mm-hmm. who didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Damn, nigga. That. Oh, that shit was terrible. Yeah, this was a good movie. It feels like Final Destination, but horror, because Final Destination has never been scary in a horror sense.
That's been more like thrilling.
Yeah, and with Final Destination, I think this could be as culturally significant as Final Destination, because, you know, ask anybody to drive behind a truck
with, you know, something that's funny about that. What's so funny about that scene is that they said, here's how you know they want to just, they do that, it will mess with us. They said when they wanted to do it practically, those logs would not bounce and do the things that they wanted it to do. So it doesn't do that.
I'll give a fuck.
Like it is like they don't do that. So they had to CGI that to where it has that extra bounce to where it's causing all this crazy damage. Like they said they tried it, it doesn't do that.
Fuck that. I ain't taking no chances because that'll be the one day that shit actually work. So no. But yeah,
I stay away from construction sites after that one scene in that same movie where the shit drops on the dude.
Bro, just like, yeah, I think this is definitely, and this is, I think, more scary, not just because it's a horror film, but it's taking the Final Destination style happenings or events, but you're not, it's not just, oh, you die. It's like, it's this stalking element where death in Final Destination is more of this, it's removed from you. Death is the action that happens. It's not the person or the entity making this happen. So,
yeah. So like it ended, and I think I walked away when I saw this movie because people said they didn't like the ending. I said, no, this is a phenomenal ending. I just think it's bleaker than what you like. And bleak endings are not fun. Like, I watched Summer of 84, and this whole idea of these kids, essentially, one of them who's, like, for sure that this upstanding police officer is the serial killer that they've been looking for 10 years. And you find out, yeah, he did. He said, yeah. But they're on an APB hunt, like, a manhunt. Like, they have them on APB manhunt, everything, trying to find the guy, and they can't find him. Motherfucker's hiding, and the kid who snitched on him is at it. Kidnaps him and his best friend, takes to the remote area where he hides the dead bodies, slits the best friend's throat, and slashes the boy's Achilles and leaves him there alive. And he leaves him alive saying, I want you to fear and know that one day I will be back. And I will be, and I will come to get you. But you will not know when that day is. Nigga. Like, that is bleak as fuck. I'm like, oh my God. It is. That's what this ending felt like. But I think, again, it's just a fit ending because the whole theme of your trauma just consuming you to the point, again, on a surface level, take with entity out. People who are going mentally mad for a week and hysterical, they're like mentally at their breaking point and they commit suicide.
Man. Fuck this movie in all the best ways. Fuck this movie.
It's crazy as hell, man.
Man, say this shit. Oof.
I'm gonna see it again.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. I won't. Yeah, that shit is wild, man. But I do think people should watch it. I think if you could stomach it or stand the psychological warfare, then go for it, man.
That's psychological warfare.
Man, say that's what it was. Shit. Next motherfucker smiling at me getting their ass beat. Oh, you want to flirt? Shit. Nigga, no.
Like, real shit, you got to fuck that nigga up.
Stay over there. But yeah.
First of all, this movie is still showing in theaters. That's crazy.
Hey, I see why. It was, well, actually.
It was a hit.
It was. And I think I'm glad that I did see it. And I actually didn't even want to see that. I think Black Adam. But I went with some other folks and it was like, we seeing this. All right. That ending where I knew we weren't done, but I was like, this would be too much like right for this to be like when she asked if that man would stay with her until she fell asleep, and he said, I'll stay with you forever. Again, I was like, oh, I'm done.
Wait, what?
At the end, so remember when she got away? She got out the house, she got away, and she drove to homeboy's house, Joe.
Yeah.
And he was like, girl, what the fuck you doing here? And they got to talking. She was like, can you just stay with me?
And it wasn't like, it was actually the entity.
Yes. I was like, bro, what, again, psychological warfare, terrorism, abuse, that motherfucker was truly playing with her. And
he just loved the game, bro.
I wanted that to be the ending, but I wish it had been the ending, and then they did a end credit scene that was the actual ending. That would have been fucked up.
It will, even for the most part, like, I think that will lead you more to a very traditional ending, like how Annihilation was for a black, because you've seen Annihilation, right?
No, but I did feel like it was traditional.
Like, Annihilation kind of has this very bleak attitude towards it where it's very cosmic horror. So it's like you really can't control anything that's going on. There's like this area where essentially it's been known that humans, our DNA is considered imperfect because our cells at one point do decay and they die. So the shimmer alters DNA to where, like any form of DNA, to where it's able to be sustainable and lasting for a long time. So it's kind of, so one, you're in this like barrier. You don't know how much time has gone by. It, and this is, they call it, like refraction, like it refracts signals, it refracts DNA, everything. That's what's fucking everything up. So I'm like, for you to be kind of in, where essentially it's a meteor and like it's a intelligent, weirdly alien life form. That's not there. It's not there to kill. It's not there to be kind. It's not there to destroy. It reacts. So whatever you do, it does back.
Fuck that.
And it's supposed to be like this weird, like this final confrontation. Supposed to be like you look at humanity in the face. It goes a very traditional route with that ending. I was like, eh, yeah, you could have, for what you wanted it to be, it could have been done a little better. But when you are faced with something like this, what other way is it to end it? Like, she kills the entity?
Yeah, starve it, like she said. But even that didn't feel like... I was like... I know it's a movie and shit has to happen, but I don't even know that that would kill it. Because at the end of the day, that's 4 days, but you could last longer than that. So now do you just stay here for the rest of your life in this old-ass house?
Yeah.
Oh no, man.
And I think that's why, like, so because one thing I always said, I think a lot of people hate, and you see it with, you would see it in superhero movies. I used to always call it the trope, I used to call the trope the power of friendship, where they set up this. Well, I specifically use with X-Men Apocalypse. You set up Apocalypse doing all this weird, cool shit, like, oh my god, he's unstoppable. And then he, then you beat him in the dumbest way possible. And I'm like, that shouldn't be a thing. But from what we know about this entity, it's like you really can't stop. And the only thing you can do is just cut. Is cut the spread. And keeping someone from witnessing you.
Yeah. And then like, what if this nigga ain't the only one? Like, this is the only one we know about. I think of the Shinigami and shit from Death Note. What if there's more of these niggas?
Yeah.
So like, yo.
Crazy movie, man. I love it.
Very much.
I'm gonna, I'm gonna buy it on Blu-ray, man.
All right, you got it, nigga. I'm gonna not buy it on Blu-ray.
Man, but hey, you got anything else you want to say about it?
Man, fuck this movie, but also go see it because it's really good.
It's fire, man.
No,
it is fire. I don't even think it's a conversation of which is a better movie between Barbarian and Smile. I think Smile is way better. I did not like Barbarian at all.
I ain't seen that shit. That's a horror movie?
Yep.
Bruh, keep that. I'm dipping my toe in the horror. But this shit, whatever badges you get for collecting horror movies, this shit gave me at least 5.
Stupid, not badges.
Yeah, man. I would like to see something from this creative team again, though, even if okay, this is kind of off brand, but not. Have you seen Honk for Jesus?
Yes, I have.
So I know they're not the same genre, clearly, but when you look at Honk for Jesus and you look at this movie, I would venture to think that this movie was probably executed better at taking a short film and making it into a feature full-length film.
Yeah,
do you feel the same way?
I do, because I did see the Honk for Jesus short film. And I think Honk for Jesus, the short film, I mean, I think the actual movie just tries to recreate it with the longer runtime. But it doesn't really, so I'm just like, I think the original short film captures the exact same tone. It does everything better. Just adds a, it just fluffs the runtime.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, but with the, but from Laura Hasn't Slept to Smile, it takes this broad, the concept in the short film, it's actually on YouTube right now. They finally brought it back.
Okay.
But it takes this broad concept of the idea of just someone who's being haunted by someone and she has insomnia because of it. It turns it into something completely different. Because I went and immediately after I saw the short film was on, I watched that short film like right after. I was like, oh my God.
Okay.
Like, how you turn that into this and it's still a first time director.
Yeah.
It's like kind of levels to it. Essentially, the Honk for Jesus short film hits the same points. It's just shorter.
Yeah. That's what you want too. You want it shorter to get folks to, who was this? Who's the director? Parker Finn. Oh, yeah. This white man has seen some shit. Look at him with his glasses on.
This is first feature length.
Well, he did that.
Yeah, this is his first ever movie.
Yeah, kudos to him. Yeah, I will say, if you haven't, y'all, check it out. If you can stomach it, if horror doesn't bother you or you like that excitement from being scared, that's all I got, shit, because if Honk for Jesus, smile your soul, shit. Oh shit, we froze.
Oh my God, bro.
What's up, man?
That's why I hate coming back home.
Bro, we was on day four. That's what it is. We on day four.
Wi-Fi cut out. Boy, my God. Damn. What were you saying again, man?
Oh, no. I was just saying, like, if you could stomach horror or you, like, are excited about being scared, I think this is definitely worth a watch.
You're not watching at night because I'm not playing. Like, that shit had me just, like, I did not want to sleep, bro. I was like, hell, no, I ain't sleeping.
I feel you, fam. That was shit. I come in this motherfucker, eyes closed until I hit the light switch. <That's
it. laughs> But overall, man, yeah, this is his first movie. That's the craziest shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's up, though, man. Like, kudos to him. And that's another thing I like indie. I like first time shit. I like the stuff that's not mainstream, not because, oh, I'm just so different, but just because that's exciting. Even when a movie is bad, like, not to be funny, Tyler Perry, like, those plays back in the day, like, this shit was raw. Like, it was just new, just doing shit.
I always tell people, I was actually just talking about this today with my friends. We kept saying, you guys can't be talking about there not being any more original ideas, anything out there like that, or blaming MCU for like, how studios see movies. Like, when how my friend explained today, he said, if you guys are going to be talking all this shit about this, and that, show me your last ticket stub that wasn't MCU related. Show me your last receipt. And no, you can't know. And it's not, I'm not talking about everything everywhere all at once at Top Gun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, show me something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're out there. Like, originally, like, Smile was about to be on streaming, but I think they realized at the last minute, hey, let's drop it in September. Nothing's coming out.
Good. And I'm glad they did.
$20 million movie.
Like, and why the fuck not? And that's the other thing. Like, that interview with Jennifer Lopez from 2019 for the Hustlers Press Junket is resurfacing. And though I don't agree with her completely, I still think there's something to it. But Smile is proof that it's not necessarily about having this big franchise film. It's about putting forth good content. Because I think Smile would have been a cult classic, whether it came out on streaming or to the theaters. But
look at the fact that it did so well. Prey was a franchise.
Prey.
It takes place in the 1700s with the Native American tribe.
Okay.
Yeah, like, everybody started wondering, like, why didn't they put this out in theaters? I said, y'all don't remember the last time a Predator movie dropped in theaters. That shit bombed.
Y'all don't go to the movie, and I don't even think it's like a bad
thing. Niggas really don't go to movies like that. Like,
and why would we? Streaming services has popped up. The whole culture of movies, cinema has changed. I think it started with Netflix doing this shit. Then you got Blu-rays and DVDs and whatnot. Like, people don't understand shit is going to keep constantly changing. We don't watch VHSs anymore. CDs came around. You don't have records. Well, maybe now is resurfacing, but records went out of style because you have CDs. Like, shit changes. Like, who's going to the movies when I got 12 feature length films over three apps at my in my phone? Like, you know, so good luck. Sorry to that movie.
Not sorry to that movie.
I wouldn't know a thing. Sorry to that movie.
But no, you can't just be you can't be complaining about that type of shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, they're all, those type of movies are out there.
Yep. Those projects is out there. Those people are out there. And shit, even look at Issa Rae. Like, to be quite honest, and all the other niggas that started off on YouTube in the early
mid-20s. She was on BuzzFeed.
Yes. There we go. That's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, Unsung Hero. No one knows. Donald Glover was like one of the first niggas to really blow up off it. He got his first industry job through doing YouTube skits.
Mm-hmm. And why, like, not?
Niggas do make content. You just have to want to see it.
Bruh. And you have to put forth that effort and that work. I understand shit is changing. Like, even this shit with Twitter, I don't really know what the end result going to be, if it's going to blow up and never be there. But even if that's the case, like, this happens. Facebook used to be the shit back in the day, and then it went left. So, like, bruh, get with the time. Shit going to be changing.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. All right, that's it for me. I'm out.
Me too, nigga.
All right, back. This is episode 104. I hope you guys take care. Happy holidays.